Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Before we hear scripture this morning, will you join me in prayer? Guide us, O God, by your word and the Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our second scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 16 through 21. In her book about passion, Amy Jill Levine says this about Jesus' act of washing disciples' feet. To be a servant leader, to take on the role of slave, also means to take on the role of freeing others, not only from sin, but also from bondage. Washing other people's feet may seem shocking to you, but more so out of disdain for feet rather than the real reason it was shocking to those first disciples. Jesus' status as master teacher and honored guest made him first in line to be served, certainly not to be the servant. But if the disciples had been paying attention, they would have heard Jesus' own proclamation of his call to free those that have been held captive, especially the least among society. In taking the place of a slave, he shows forth the fulfillment of this role, one that will be further fulfilled in dying as a common criminal. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up and read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to recover of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say, saying to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." My friends, this is the word of the Lord. So we're in Holy Week, and now we are at Jesus' last words at the Last Supper. They were shocking to those in attendance. The words that we hear now are even more oftentimes comforting to us because we hear them every time we have communion. But at the moment of their utterance, they were anything but usual. This week, we enter the scene of the Last Supper. We're there long enough to get a grasp of the shock that would have rippled through Jesus' friends. Partaking of blood, body and blood. That's not kosher. A lord washing the feet of a servant? Unbelievable. Unheard of. Breaking bread with an enemy. What? But Jesus knew his time was up, and it was time for the disciples to get the message. And it was, even more shocking way. to hear love one another as I have loved you by serving, forgiving, freeing, communing, becoming one with God. Liturgical theologian Aidan Cavanaugh once wrote, "Symbols become roomy and allow more different people to put them on, so to speak, in different ways. Signs do not. Signs are unambiguous because they exist to give precise information. Symbols coax one into a swamp of meaning and require one to frolic in it." Our three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, place this final meal on the first night of Passover. For John, the Last Supper actually takes place 24 hours earlier, so the meal is not a Seder. I love what Amy Jill Levine says about John's gospel. Jesus is crucified not on the first day of the Passover, but the day before, when the lambs of the Passover Seder are being sacrificed in the temple. Thus, Jesus does not need to speak about eating the lamb, the paschal offering, because in John's gospel, Jesus is the lamb. John has changed the symbolism. Whereas the paschal offering, the lamb, is not a sin offering, John connects the images of lamb and sin offering. We see this as early as John 1, where John the Baptist says about Jesus, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." If we think of Jesus as being the Passover offering, we can get a better understanding about how John's symbolism works. That first night of Passover, at the time of the Exodus from Egypt, is when the angel of death passes over the houses of the Israelites, those houses marked with the blood of the original paschal offering. But he killed the firstborn of all the Egyptians. Jesus, as the new paschal lamb, the lamb who takes away the sin, will similarly save his people for eternal life. That original Passover mark that marks the movement from slavery to freedom. The Passover of John symbolically marks the movement from sin to reconciliation, from death to life. Here, we have the reason why churches that celebrate a Passover Seder may want to reconsider. If Jesus is the Passover, the celebration of a Seder is unnecessary. Jesus often shocked his followers by practicing this inclusive table fellowship. In fact, he challenged common meal practices in a lot of ways throughout the gospel. But on the night of the Last Supper, he dines with his closest friends. So what is extraordinary about this meal? What moves us? Cavanaugh goes on to say, Jesus adds yet another layer of meaning when he takes the bread and the cup, saying, "This is my body." Levine reminds us, if we take the Eucharist for granted, if we take communion as a simply a form of dinner, then we miss the shock. Jesus is giving up his life, and he wants that to be remembered. He's allowing his body to be broken, and he wants that to be remembered as well. Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me. I gave up my life. You need to respond." Today, we talk about breaking bread together as a sign of peace, a sign of unity, a sign of family. And yet, we're anything but unified. Our world, our country, our neighborhoods, our families stands in odds with each other. And I'll be honest, I tell you, I struggle with where and how we can be reunified. In all four Gospels, though, Judas, you remember Judas, right? Judas shares in the Last Supper. Did you notice that? Judas. Yes, Judas is the image and the likeness of the divine, as we all are. So let us remember, he is not a demon, although he may seem to us to be one. He is a human being. And we cannot afford to demonize human beings. Judas calls us to conscience. And perhaps we have need to follow Jesus in dealing with those we struggle with. To think about offering an opportunity, a symbol of reconciliation without strings attached. And then to let go, as Jesus did. In John's Gospel, that Last Supper is also the scene of the Jesus' washing the disciples' feet, as I shared with the kids. And his commandment says, So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have set for you an example, that you are all should do what as I have done to you. Jesus proclaims servant leadership throughout the gospel, but now he physically has provided an intimate symbol of servanthood. I think it's another symbol we need to try on, especially as we come to the table. For Christ has set the table for each of us this morning. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.